Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
Okay, we are back here, backside of Churchill Downs. We continue along. We come back cold out of there because we're overcoming the worst idea in the history of radio because we don't want to keep a guy like Tony Delk waiting around here, man. He's walking by looking good. Good to see you, man.
Thank you, thank you. I'm happy to be here, coming in and enjoying, the festivities of the Kentucky Derby. Like it's like the spectacular, one of the most exciting events to attend.
Did you know much about the Derby or anything before you came to college? Before you came to Kentucky?
Not really. Yeah. I can't even lie and act like I was a guy that was betting on horses and knew the magnitude of how important horse racing was in the state of Kentucky.
Were you from Georgia or wherever?
Tennessee.
Tennessee. Okay.
So I'm close enough.
Enough. You could have made the trip. Now, when you were in college, did you pick it up real fast?
I did. I think having Keeneland and Lexington, I didn't really experience it. But we went to the Final Four in 93, and I remember, we went to the Final Four, and the big thing then was, okay, you got to go to the Derby. So Walter McCartney and I, we got with some friends and came down to the Derby. We was in the infield, and I never saw a horse.
No, it's okay. I bet you weren't bored, though.
It was the biggest party. Yes, it was. It was probably one of the most exciting experiences, and I enjoyed the party. It was a festivity. I tell people that experience is something I will never forget.
Tony Delk with us here. MOP, you got to connect with Luke Hancock. We have an MOP party around here.
Oh, okay. Cool.
What was it like going to the first Derby after being the MOP and then being not in the infield but probably in some of the nicer parts of the track?
It was, like I said, you experience both, the infield and then you feel even more important. So now you can walk around and be a national championship champion. But it starts with having great teammates and having a great coach and Coach Pitino. But just to live here, have lived here for 3 years and came back with Coach Cal for 2 years on his staff. But, there's no better fans than the Kentucky fans and how they travel and how much love and support they gave me during those years. And I'm just so appreciative to be one of the members of the 2024 class.
We saw you recently coming off that bus as you guys are, reenacting? 96?
Yeah, reenacting.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Who came up with that idea?
Probably Mark. but it happened fast. It was kind of like he got the job and before we knew it, made a couple phone calls and just to show our love and support. He's going to do a phenomenal job putting his support staff together as well as just getting the players. The players are going to fit his culture and his style. That's what's going to make him who he is.
Were you surprised it got to him that fast? I mean, the job went right to him?
I think there was, as there were candidates and people who they were, weak were looking at and thought about, to me, he made the most sense. Know the tradition, has a style that's going to be exciting for, Kentucky basketball fans and just him himself, what he does, the energy that he brings, And not to say that Coach Cal didn't have that. Coach Cal was great for the University of Kentucky.
That job is not built for somebody to have for 15 years.
No,
Nine-ten is about the longest.
It's funny you say that because I was telling someone yesterday it's an 8 to 10 year job before you burn out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's not about always, staying somewhere and it's a forever job. Like, it's one of those jobs, it's taxing on your body, and you got to know when to leave.
Yeah.
We were watching Mark Pope at BYU, and I was like, this guy's pretty good. He's got BYU players.
You're like, there's no way he's going to get the Kentucky job.
But I was thinking Louisville for a minute, and then it was like, well, he went to Kentucky, probably can't do that again. But, he's going to get a way higher caliber player at UK. What is it about his style that's gonna work with that higher caliber player?
Well, I just think it's the style of today's basketball. When you go recruit players, it's about up-tempo, shooting threes, ball movement, player movement, scoring. So the game has elevated. So even that's how we played in the 90s. So I think Coach Pitino was a trendsetter in the 90s when he was all about having multiple players that can make decisions. positionless basketball, and then having guys who can shoot the three at every position.
Yeah.
So he doesn't get enough credit for how today's basketball has been constructed, but he's one of the main catalysts behind how the game from a standpoint.
Why do you shoot so many threes? Because there ain't no fours.
trust and believe. That was Antoine.
Now Antoine, now take me to 96, that SEC championship game. He sits his butt on the bench. He's had enough or whatever he was doing.
Yeah.
What do you remember about that? He was proving a point.
You know, it was funny because, you know, we kind of got into an argument about, you know, just – not about the game, but, you know, in his mind, and he probably would have, if we'd have won the game, he was going to be SEC tournament MVP.
Oh, yeah.
So he already had that in his mind. Like, but Coach Pitino had to prove a point. He's like, we can win and lose without you, and we end up losing without him. so it didn't work out, but it sent a message that, you know, because we were so connected at that time, you know, and you go from, we went 3 months and won, we didn't lose a game. You know, our second loss was to UMass, and then we went 3 months, and our next loss was SEC tournament against Mississippi State, who ended up making it to the Final Four. So we lost to two really good teams. It wasn't like we lost to a bad team. Those two losses were legit losses with pros on both teams.
I think you can always, and you probably make the case, it's one of the greatest teams ever assembled. I think that 96 bunch.
I would have to put it up there. You know, there's great teams that I saw during my time, especially watching. I was a huge UNLV fan. I love that.
Right.
That
yeah.
UNLV
yeah, team. I might watch on that 91 team.
You know, it was crazy.
Anderson
my,
Hunt and those guys. Oh,
my mom would make me go to bed. I'm like, you know, it was always
Big
a late
Monday.
Game.
It was
a late game. Yeah. She was like, you got to go to bed. You got school tomorrow. I'm like, no, I got to watch the Running Rebs. And I go back to that time because I sent during my sophomore year before I became a breakout my junior year, I sent two letters to one personal letters I wrote out and sent one to UNLV. Other one went to LSU and never heard back from either one of those.
Really?
Are you serious?
You should send the letter again and signed Tony Delk, MOP 1996.
That's a follow-up to my previous letter.
Yeah. So you've got to have some crazy psychopathic Rick Pitino stories, right? I mean, he's probably you scored like 80-some points in the first half of the game. You're like mad about a defensive switch or something.
But
right?
I think we were still upset that you were down 31 points to LSU. And so we're having this, you know, calls a timeout. And he said, tomorrow's going to be the worst effing day of your life. He said, Tony, you need to transfer. You're going to have to transfer to Tennessee, Walter McCarty, Indiana, Jared Prickett, West Virginia. So all the teams that were
staff was fired, too, right?
Yeah. Oh, everybody's fired. You know, it was, and then after the game, I mean, it was like, guys, we're going to be off tomorrow. But classic Coach Pitino, though,
he's nuts. Yeah, I've always thought you've got to have your own personal tailor. How long are your arms? There's no way you can go to a store and buy.
You know what? It's kind of like things have changed now, so it's tailor made. Not even you can buy things tailor made off the rack now. So back then, it was my sleeves would be like right here, and I'm like, man, I had some extremely long arms.
Yeah.
I got to find some shirts that fit me. So
what is your wingspan?
It was like 6'10". So it gave me an advantage against being 6'1", 6'10", wingspan, and it gave me an advantage against 6'4", 6'5".
Did it help you with rebounding? Help with shooting?
Absolutely rebounding.
Yeah, that's what I would think.
And then I was a great jumper, a quick leaper, and that's the one thing I don't think. Coach Pitino, when we had our 20th reunion in Miami, he was talking about, like, you were a phenomenal rebounder. I said, I love scoring. So I could follow the flight of the ball, and especially on offense, I'm like, that's some opportunity to go get offensive rebound.
How much are the guys talking from back in that day, how much money they would have made NIL-wise these days?
You know, it's funny.
What do you think about
Well,
that?
Just even NBA money.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the average salary is probably about $7, $8 million. And, you know, for me being a specialist and a scorer, you know, I'm just thinking about I was born in the wrong era, you know, but great for these guys to get opportunity to go out and use their name, image, and likeness to make money, you know, because universities have made billions of dollars, you know, just from athletes in general. So I'm happy for those guys.
What are your plans this week? You got a pick for the race? Or
No, I haven't. No? I have to look at it. I have to call my brother. He's the one that picks the horses, and, you know, he's the gambler.
Yeah.
And especially on horse. Now, I do like my blackjack, but I'll call him, and he'll send me his bets, and then I'll forward them to my nephew, and then he'll place the bets.
Okay. All right. Well, it's great to see you, man.
Thank you.
And good luck. Now, how long were you in the league?
10 years.
10 years. Okay.
Yeah, 10 years. Yeah.
And what are you doing these days?
Currently working for the Dallas Mavericks doing pro personnel scout. So
sounds like a good gig.
Getting ready for this pre-draft in Chicago, the NBA Combine. So
is there a number one clear guy?
I don't think so. I really don't. I think this is one of those wide open years, and I'm not going to say it's a weak draft. Every draft, you're going to, you know, players are getting drafted, and they're going to be great players at some point in time. But, you know, this is one of the years where you look at a Reed and a Dillingham, it's the perfect time for them to go.
I'm just curious, though, because you see now in college basketball, the older players are coveted. They are great college players, yeah, but may not necessarily be NBA prospects, right?
They should be. Front office has got to make a change because you have seniors that are, to me, are plug-and-play guys. You know, yeah, potential is great. But when you're an organization, you need guys to come in right away and play with like the likes of a Luka, the likes of a Giannis. They don't want to wait for an 18-year-old kid or 19-year-old kid to develop because now I've lost 3 years. So I like guys that can come in and play right away. Like you take a Edie was one of those names, and a Dalton Connect was two guys that should go fairly high, and there's a reason why.
First round, you think like lower first round?
Yeah, I didn't think first round for Edie last year, but this year he came on, he got better conditioning. You know, he's a load down there.
Well, I got a guy you can share a story with here. The guy already, I don't know if you watched the Big East tournament, the guy Danny Hurley tried to get thrown out of Coach Pitino's game in the red jacket.
Really?
That's him right
that's
there.
That's him right that's there.
No,
yeah.
Get out of here.
No,
yeah.
He started this drink, so I
agree. He should be wearing the everywhere.
Tom, you'll have to tell Delk the story about the red jacket.
Yeah.
It's an energy boost.
Yeah.
Okay.
I watch TV. Yeah.
How you doing? Doing all right. Now, Danny, I had a chance.
Try to get him thrown out. Here. Yeah. How about
you
that?
Got you in trouble,
Danny, they saw
now. You talking about some story now?
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
He knows. He knows where all the bodies are.
Hell yeah, he does.
But I tell you about Benny when I first got
get
to Kentucky.
Over here. Where's the microphone? We got the.
That was so. Benny, let me. We didn't have cars at Kentucky, so Vinny was.
Oh, sure you did.
No, we didn't. Not my freshman year. Now I got one later.
I got one later. I bet travel was a lot easier after
that's,
you started.
That's a whole other story with Sean Woods, you know, getting me a car, and my mom was like, "You better return." Unbelievable.
Yeah.
He would let me borrow his car sometime.
Get over here, Vinny.
Young Vinny Tatum?
Yeah. Hang on. There's
it. Hold the keys.
Here. grab.
I was going to make a duplicate, and so I was like, so I didn't have to always bother you. I was like, I got my own key now.
We roomed in Charlotte one time, too.
Yeah, we did, man.
You roomed in Charlotte. Sounds like there's a story there like there usually is.
Hey, man, there's a lot of stories, man.
Does anybody know more than Benny?
I don't think anybody knows more than Benny. Benny knows a lot. Benny knows a lot.
The person that knew how bad I snored.
Oh, man, listen. Well, you know what? As I've gotten older, I'm snoring, too. So it's not a big deal. It happens at some point in time in your life.
Yeah. But you were in college then.
I was the manager.
You were the manager, yeah. Under Kitely. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay. So we're not getting any of these stories, is what you're telling me.
No. You know what? It's funny, though. We probably have so many Mr. Kitely stories, but he was just.
Well, you got to have crazy Rick Pitino stories like he's been dealing with for 20. How many times have you been fired by Coach?
More than once. I fired this morning by him.
I don't even work for him. I've been fired a couple times.
Yeah, right. I know. Tom O'Grady, you would know all about that, too.
Yeah, he fired all assistant coaches.
Yeah.
I'm like, is this true? I'm like, how's he going to fire Billy? Billy's the one that brought me here. So.
Yeah. Well, Tony, appreciate it, man.
Thanks so much.
Tony Douglas here, 96 MOP of Kentucky. We have, and then the guy that almost got the man in the red jacket. How long are you known as the man in the red jacket this March, Tom?
Well, since that game, what day was that? I don't think I'd ever be known as the man in the red jacket because I don't even like the color red.
But we've got, you know, we made a mistake. We did not have the focus out here on ice, so our apologies there for that. But I tell you, man, the clear-cut hero, that is my. I've got a problem. I mean, I'm getting an addiction problem. Well, how great's it going?
Honestly, I'm not even a hydration drink guy. I don't really do. I exercise a lot, but I don't drink any of the sports drinks.
Yeah.
And when we came out with Hero, and I tried it, I was like, man, not only does it taste good, it's
calorie.
Yeah, it's relatively healthy. So, you know, it's one of those drinks people tell me all the time. I don't mind giving it to my kids, and it just makes me feel good. And when I started using it, I was like, man, I could tell the difference when I was exercising and how I felt. So, I mean, you know, it's a tough market. It's very competitive. It's doing well so far, and Kroger's been a great partner to us on the product.
It's funny because we were talking with Danos this morning, and much like your a local company, getting distribution, getting a support of Kroger's meant a lot.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, they're obviously a fantastic retailer to have in your corner. But, you know, they had a lot of demand for hydration drinks. So
yeah.
It's been a good partnership and will continue to be. And we just launched this other drink called Levo. is a big demand product. There's two products called Poppy and Olipop, and they're for gut health, for your stomach.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, and it has 5 grams of fiber, and so it's a healthier for you soda.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're
that's how you started this whole thing, right?
Yeah,
you were
right,
drinking
right.
So many Diet Cokes, right?
Right. So this is actually has serious. Good qualities for your digestion. And so 5 grams of fiber is a lot. So mm-hmm. you don't want to be drinking 5 of these in a day.
Yeah, the pot.
You can drink as many as you want, but you don't want five Levos in a day.
Well, you were there last night after the thing for Clint. I mean, it's a tough time of year for all of us. I mean, what do you... It's going to be weird to be under every day and not get that picture of the circles and everything else.
The greatest thing I could say this derby about Clint Glasscock is that guy put a lot of years, a lot of life in a short amount of years.
Yeah.
And I think anyone would look back in their life and said, I wish I just would have done more. He couldn't have done more.
You know, no,
guy,
you're right.
That
no.
guy lived
he didn't get
a
cheated.
Full life.
Yeah.
And, you know, he really couldn't have done more in less time, and so in that respect, I miss him. I wish he was here, and I'm missing his picks. Like I
know,
send me the scrap sheet with your picks, and you know, it makes me not going to get those this year. But yeah, that guy lived a great life.
Man,
so.
No, and it's funny. That's why I have. It's easy to put together a video of him because everybody has video of him and pictures
right.
of him. I have more pictures of him than anybody in my family because we're always doing fun stuff,
that's right? That's the greatest thing about Clint. Every time I think about him, I smile.
Yeah.
Because it was always a good time.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. You love the Pony. Are you in ownership anymore?
No, I haven't owned in like 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
My kids got busy and I found myself not watching the races anymore. And
that'll
when I get to
it.
Derby week, I start handicapping like the day the form comes out. I don't even know the name of the horse.
Yeah.
I did just run into Mike Rapoli, though.
Oh, you
he's
did?
A big St. John's booster and a
mm-hmm.
great guy.
Is he out here this morning?
He is.
Yeah.
Well, he has got fierceness. He owns fierceness.
Obviously, yeah. We live.
And it was the first guy I saw when I walked in the track. He was over there by the barn, and we just chatted real quick. And I really would like him to win, and I think he's got the best horse in the field. I know Sierra Leone is the favorite. I really don't understand why, but Mike has put so much money in the game, and for him to win the Derby, I think.
Has he got any
fantastic.
Advice for you on beverage distribution? You know, like it seems like you ought to know a little bit. Right?
Well, he's the king, man.
And yeah.
If we could get a little of his momentum, that would be fabulous.
Did you guys cross paths before St. John's, or was Patino
you know
looking
I,
after
I,
you guys?
I had never met Mike. I knew a good friend of his through our distributor in New York when we were up with Big Geyser in New York, but no, I never had met Mike, and I met him through Coach.
Yeah.
You know, Coach is the great connector, so.
We're at Tom O'Grady with us here. You know him from Focus and Clear Cut Hero and Cram the Van. You've been the big, you know, board of that. I mean, that thing has now grown. We have our own LLC now. We're over 100 grand again this year, so it's been, wouldn't have happened without you, so.
Yeah, you know, I actually wanted to give you a little crap about that because I just saw my check clear from Cram the Van like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah,
wasn't that Christmas time, Drew?
Well, I did not receive the check at Christmas time. I don't want to throw.
Okay, well, anybody, when did we receive it?
I don't want to know anybody nicknamed Dream under the bus, but you know,
Dream
if I have
Weaver
to,
yeah. might have slept on the check.
Yeah, then I might have been. Yeah. It's possible. It's possible.
Not
that
the guy in the red jacket's
like,
check.
Like,
not now.
What's going on here? You're
yeah.
in the van.
Yeah.
It's June.
Yeah.
Where is the red jacket right now?
Yeah. Okay.
By
so
the way?
Let's set this up. So people who did know, this was
you
this
can't ask questions like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So Big East tournament. What happened? Danny Hurley's trying to get you thrown out, and for once, it didn't seem like he actually did anything. There are other times you probably should have been.
Look, Drew, you know I'm an incredibly...
Psychopath.
I'm a bit of a... Some people would say psychopath. I like to animate it. I'm an animated
sure,
fan.
Sure, whatever euphemism you'd like.
And Coach, the night before, said, Tom, you've got a really good ticket tomorrow. You have to behave yourself.
He did? Because he knew what was in store.
And I said, Coach, I promise you I'll behave myself.
Uh-huh.
I said, can I cheer? He goes, of course you can cheer. So, you know, we go meet everyone at the bar pregame. And I was like, I'm going to behave myself.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, we have a tradition on the road. We do a shot of Jameson.
Okay.
So I had a beer.
You and Patino.
Shot it. No, no.
Oh,
the crew.
Okay.
Pregame crew.
Yeah.
Had a beer and a shot of Jameson. That was it. And to me, that's like, you might as well not drink.
Right. Yeah. I wouldn't count. I'd say I didn't
That's
drink.
Not even drinking.
That's all I had.
Yeah,
I'd say
it's
I didn't
just
drink.
For tradition.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I got to behave myself. So
uh-huh.
I get there and at the garden, you are part of the game when you're on the floor in those seats.
Yeah.
So
you're Spike
you know,
Lee.
I was
the white Spike Lee.
mindset, behave yourself. And your coach gets that tee with like 8.5 minutes into the game,
yeah.
Which you find out in the post game was a calculated tee. He wanted to change the momentum of the game. And the crowd goes nuts. You know, it's the Garden. It's UConn, St. John's. It was old school Big East. I grew up in New York.
Oh.
So this was old school. The next possession or whatever. And something else happened. And the crowd's going crazy. And I've got the ref right in front of me. The guy's from Louisville. I forget his name. Big guy, dark hair. He's right there in front of me. And Hurley is over half court.
Yeah.
You know, losing his mind.
Right.
Which is fine. Like, coaches lose their mind. I lose my mind. But I just said to my guy, I said, hey, you just gave my buddy a tee. I go, look at this crazy man. He's way out of the coaching box.
Yeah.
And he turned and he just threw him the tee. Like,
So you got him teed up.
That's apparently what happened.
Yeah.
Yes.
and then he figured out you were the one who narked on him. But it's an objective standard.
But he was not even close. He was over half court.
No. Like, he's damn near in Patino's huddle.
And he wasn't being subtle about it. He was losing his
And so then,
but he's an amazing coach, you know.
And so then how quickly did you realize you'd gone viral?
Well, my phone was just buzzing in my pocket. I didn't even look at my phone till an hour after the game when I was at the bar after
That's
the game.
78 messages.
310. And I get like 5 a day, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe 10 at derby time. Like, I'm not that popular.
What was the interaction with his dad? Because it looked like you and his dad had like a stare down.
We did.
Yeah.
But he looked like he had a stare down.
Naismith Hall of Fame basketball.
And he's legendary.
Yeah.
High school basketball. Yeah. And I grew up in the area. So. Right. St. Anthony's was awesome, and he was a phenomenal coach. So he has that in him, right? And he was sitting right next to his son, so he was staring me down. But, you know, I'm not afraid of a fight. I've got one under my belt, actually. I'm an amateur boxer.
That's right.
I won one down, and I'm undefeated.
Undefeated
I'll never
boxer.
Do it again.
Where was
but
that?
Was staring.
Yeah.
He was staring me down. I was like,
he's a huge man.
Like, really?
You're gonna have a fight in the Garden?
We're at the Garden. I'm 53 years old. Like, I don't want to fight, but if we have to, I will.
At halftime, there was a shot at the buzzer that went down, and I was like, Tom's checking the monitor. He's totally getting checked out. He's totally getting kicked out. I was like, he's getting kicked out. He's like behind the ref looking at the monitor. And like, he's totally getting ejected, 100%.
The funny part was, it was a buddy of mine at the game. I hadn't seen him forever. So I met him at halftime. And we were just catching up on life. So I didn't come back in the game till like 16 minutes left in the half. And apparently my nephew sent me these texts like on Twitter. And there was a streaming, where's the man in the red jacket? Man in red jacket's not in the seat.
And then 40
out.
Writes about you. And then 40. Half of Pat 40's article is like entirely about you. So
the funny thing about the jacket is I bought it that day.
That's crazy.
I bought it the day of the game.
So you're going to wear it to every game, right?
Well, you know, I didn't have any red in my wardrobe.
Yeah,
and I was
got rid of it, huh?
Got rid of most of my red. And I'm walking down the street in New York, and I see this red sweater in the window. And I go, I'm going to go get something red. And I walk in. And I see this jacket. It's like, I have to have that jacket.
Yeah, yeah. That's fantastic. Well, Tom, with your support here, the station's great. From Focus to Cray in the Van and now Clear Cut Hero, it's awesome. And you got a pick? So, I mean, Fierceness. And by the way, Fierceness is 3-2 favorite now.
3-2?
Yeah. I
honestly. Way bet. That's hard to be a 3-2 favorite.
3-2. It's going to be Fusashi Pegasus. I mean, Fusashi Pegasus.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a race. Unless he gets trouble out of the gate like he did. The only two races he didn't run well, it was all gate issues.
I agree with what somebody said last night. Either bet him to win.
But that said, I think it was the Holy Bull. They said it coming as pinballed in the gate. If you watch the replay, he did get pinballed out of the gate. And that's brutal for a young horse, and he still ran second.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know.
Yeah, I racing luck to me is the only thing that keeps him out of the winner's circle.
Yeah, and I actually because I don't think he's going to have any trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Tom, certainly appreciate it as always.
Great
stories, man. Best of luck with everything.
Yeah, so
we'll see.
Have a great day,
man. All right. So yesterday, we had mint juleps made for us.
Yep.
And it looks like history's getting ready to repeat itself.
That's right. We went from the old Forester mint julep to now, the Woodford Reserve mint julep to now the old Forester mint julep. And we'll definitely be doing.
Caleb Trigo with us here from Old Forester, the assistant master distiller, and
Melissa Rift.
We got two. We got a pilot and a co-pilot.
Two distillers.
Yeah. How about that? So welcome in. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Make sure all the mics are on there and everything. All right, so what are we getting ready to do here?
So it's Thurby.
Yep.
Old Forester is the presenting sponsor for Thurby. We're the official bourbon in the mint julep here at the and also in all the mint juleps that folks enjoy at home. And so we brought a mint julep to make you guys.
All right.
That'd be awesome.
I'm
absolutely
interested. Yes, absolutely.
All right, cool. So mint juleps, you know, one of my favorite things about them is you make them right in the glass you're going to drink. So that makes it really easy. Another thing that makes it easy is, you know, it's a simple recipe, simple syrup, fresh mint, bourbon. But we've actually simplified it even more by making this Old Forester mint julep mix. And it just takes the simple syrup, the mint, and the bourbon, and it combines it all in one.
And so, a perfect balance.
A perfect balance.
So I don't have to worry about screwing it up, right?
You can't mess it up. It makes it really easy to make at home. And all you're going to do is I poured 2 ounces over crushed ice. I'm going to give it a little twist with my spoon to make sure it gets nice and chilled. It's going to be a hot weekend, if you guys didn't know.
So
we are going to mix it up. Top it with more crushed ice. We want to
how much that. Mint? What's the optimal amount of mint?
So if you're making it fresh at home, you want about 8 to 10 mint leaves in the bottom, and you just want to lightly muddle them up with that simple syrup and that bourbon. On top, you want a big sprig of mint because you want it to kind of hit you in the face.
That's a little bit of the nose there.
Exactly.
Okay.
Slap that mint. Express those
slap
aromatics.
The mint.
Are you allowed to say that on the radio?
Slap your mint.
Slap your mint, Mark.
Yeah. You know, some people say spank the mint.
Spank. Like that's it. What it was last year. Spank the mint. Yeah. That's what it was last year. Everybody had such
a little
fun
slap
time
and spank. Okay.
on a Thursday. Yeah.
On a Thurby. Yeah.
All right.
That's awesome.
So we have a mate for us right here, and that's with Caleb Trigo here. So you just became master distiller a few months ago, huh?
Yeah. So very new to the role, but super excited to join the team at Old Forester, and it's been an amazing experience so far. I actually spent most of my time prior to now at the distillery on Main Street managing production operations.
It's always cool. I always love going in that and seeing you got a special release in there. You just kind of poke your head in there,
see
what's going on.
Love the hat.
The tour is obviously
amazing. That's a winner right there.
But
I want to, 1 second. You're used to dealing with and hearing terms like master distiller.
Assistant master distiller.
Yeah. But what does that entail? And how much bourbon do you have to consume to get that?
Well, more than consuming the bourbon, it's working a lot on like the innovation front. Like what are we doing to continue to innovate and inspire the brand and work with our partners to kind of move the brand forward? Old Forester's been around for over 150 years, so we've kind of got it down on making bourbon, but we got to keep it interesting. So I work a lot on the innovation front. And then with the production team, every day in the distillery, making it, mashing it, distilling it, barreling it, all of it.
And what's the difference between that and then Master Taster, which your title is?
So Master Taster, I work in collaboration with Caleb and the rest of our production team, but I also work to bring that to life with consumers. So it's a lot of relationship building, also bringing that feedback back to the innovation table to make sure that we're staying relevant. We've been around for a long time, but we want to stay relevant in the modern era for bourbon. And then it's a lot of ensuring the continued quality of the product as well.
Are you both blown away at the growth of it? I mean, this explosion is in the last, I don't know, is it 5 years, 10 years? What would be the line in the sand? And why? We've known about it forever around here.
How long do we have?
Yeah, no. Right. I mean, I think it's a great discussion.
Growth
as long as you want.
Mid-2000s.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, definitely the last 10 years, consumer-wise, like people have really gotten into it. And I think there are a lot of reasons for that. Craft cocktail culture is a big one. But I also think that people are really interested in knowing where their products come from and that they're made, handcrafted. And we've been handcrafting bourbon for 153 years. You know, Caleb literally, that is his job.
Yeah.
And so I think that people feel really connected to products like that.
I'm fascinated. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, like part of the Old Forester Renaissance, I mean, we moved back downtown where we were operating in the 1800s on Main Street.
Mm-hmm.
And so having that space to really tell the brand story and like show off what we've been doing has been amazing for the brand over the last 5 or so
years. I'm an Old Forester 100 guy. Like, I like the 100 proof. What's your all's kind of... There's so many different Old Foresters now. You have the 117 series. Obviously, you have those things. But even at the Prohibition style, the Warehouse series. I'm sorry if I don't know the correct terms.
Yeah,
but, like,
it.
There's so many different types now. Where do you guys lean as the master taster, as the assistant master distiller? I think it's really interesting because it's a lot of different... flavors
you
out there.
You want us to choose our favorite child?
Yes, that's what I want you to do.
Well, I'll agree with you. The Old Forester 100 proof is like the utility knife. I think that one's great. It's like my house bourbon. It's what I bring to parties. Like, it's just an all-around great value for a phenomenal bourbon. But if you're looking for something that leans more towards one part of our profile, the Whiskey Row series is great because you have four really distinct takes on what is Old Forester. You have a through line, and then you've got kind of accents in one direction or the other. And then, of course, you know, our harder-to-find stuff, Birthday Bourbon, our new 1924 release, things like that, 117 series. Those are just fun for the folks that really love getting into Old Forester and how broad our take on Old Forester can be.
Yeah. Where do I get one of these hats? That's what I want to know. What's the deal?
Yeah, so we're actually – fun story about the hat. So riffing off the Mint Julep, we were inspired to collaborate with 4 May Millinery. They're a local hat company here in Louisville, Kentucky, based in Butchertown. These are handmade, and you can actually get them on our website.
How much are they? I'm going to need them for Saturday here.
$300.
$300.
Yeah, $100.
Yeah, okay.
You look good in a cowboy hat.
Yeah, but maybe, yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I have a weird-shaped head. Sometimes hats and me don't
I don't know.
Don't
can he try
along.
That on? I want to see what it looks like. I want to take a photo of Drew in this hat. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's a good look.
I actually think that plays. I think that works. Yeah. The hat plays for sure.
I'm fascinated by I have no taste, no tongue for bourbon. Like, I can't distinguish it like anybody at all. But I was able to do one of the things where you had a barrel tasting. And it's amazing to me that these things are aged in the same spot and same temperatures. And even me with the untrained tongue can tell the difference in taste of barrel strength and bottle strength, like of all three. I mean, I was blown away. So how do you get it to be consistent if there's right next to one another and they taste different?
Yeah, I mean, when we make Old Forester, like all of our Whiskey Row series, 100 proof, 86, we blend a bunch of barrels together, and so that we ensure consistency by blending. That's actually our founder, George Garvin Brown, back in the day. He blended barrels together and put it in a glass bottle, and that's kind of our heritage.
Amazing.
But it is cool and unique to see, like, barrel to barrel, the differences that you'll have, even in the same warehouse. I mean, some at the top are going to be a lot more like wood forward, oak, spice, and then maybe some at the bottom where it's a bit cooler, you'll get maybe some of those sweet aromatics. And, so it's really cool.
All right. Looking forward to
cheers
it.
Cheers here. Thank you for the mint julep. Thank you very much.
Enjoy thank you guys weekend. Very
happy
much. I really hope that you all do well at the track.
And I need to buy one of these. Yeah, I need to get my hands on one of those. So they're at the
oldforester.com.
Okay.
And are they available on the distillery downtown?
Yes.
Okay, there you go. So you can just roll downtown there and get that.
All right. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Melissa.
If I can run a credit card, I'll do it right now.
So, what do we want to do? We've got assistant owner, or a partial owner of Sierra Leone
let's get
John Bull.
Let's do John. How long you got? What's your time schedule?
Okay,
we'll get Brooke Smith here then, right?
Let's get Brooke Smith. I think it's a really great story.
It's a great story.
Thanks for hanging out. We got backed up there a little bit.
We had lots of
action.
Yeah, so Brooke Smith is with us here, and a local guy, and an owner here that's got with a real live chance with Sierra Leone.
Absolutely.
So welcome in. Good morning.
Thank you. It's always fun to follow Old Forester into anything.
Yeah. Well, I haven't had this yet, but if you're welcome to it, if you'd like. Yeah. I don't know.
I had a few too many last night.
Okay, all right.
So how did you get involved with the ownership of Sierra Leone?
So the story is, made a career in the insurance business, actually surety, which is more like bank credit. And I was introduced to some younger guys, you know, say younger mid-30s, that were based in London. They did event insurance and sports entertainment insurance. And just great young guys. And I wanted to partner with them. They've done really well since. And one of them happened to be a guy named Charlie Pearson, who is a son-in-law of John Magner, who's the patriarch, for lack of a better word, of Coolmore.
Mm-hmm.
And so just being around him, he was in the States often, and being around Ashford over in Versailles, I got to know him, and they knew I had horses. And they said, hey, you think Brooke might be interested in joining kind of our core partnership? There's a handful of guys that have been doing it for decades. You know, Peter Brandt, Michael Tabor, Derek Smith, and the Magners. And I thought to myself, well, I've tried everything else in the business. Hell, one day I tried to claim 3 horses for 100, which didn't work out too good.
Wait, three
out of one race. I mean, I know.
How did you do? Did you lose all three shakes, or what did you?
No, I won all three horses. But okay. If I could go back in time, I wish his only head had been shaken again. I've had some good claims, but that one, in theory, on paper, made sense.
Yeah.
But anyway, I got to know Ashford Coolmore folks here. Went over to Ireland and had a delightful day, really touring the farm there, and having lunch with John. And so they're like, okay, this guy's a lug nut, but we'll have him in. But it's an interesting, incredible, completely humbled and respectful of what those guys have accomplished. And just to be like the new kid that's invited in and to happen to hit, you know, a lottery ticket. I mean, look, they're great at picking out horses, but I don't care how well you're bred or how good you look. You still have to have the head and the heart, and you can't really handicap that. And in the case of Sierra Leone, he's just like the total package.
Got to run the race.
So you're from here locally, right? What high school?
Yeah, I went to Oldham County High School when there was only one school out there.
Yeah, yeah.
And I lived at the very far end of the county in Westport, you know.
Right, Westport, Kentucky.
Yeah, down in like the pit there before the river. Pit, I don't mean in a bad way.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's no cable TV then and no internet. I'm over here working the rabbit ears trying to watch the Louisville Cardinals play basketball. quite rural, really. I guess you could say I was a country boy, but spent a lot of time in the city since.
So you probably grew up going in the infield here, I imagine, a few times.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? Yeah.
Yeah,
what was your first derby?
Oh, gosh. First derby. Maybe scrapped out there in high school. Certainly right after graduating from Clemson. My wife's from South Carolina, and I had to show her the ropes of the infield.
Mm-hmm.
Those money at infields are the best.
Oh, my God. Just, and at the races on top of the porta potties.
I still go out there. It's very likely I'll be out in the infield this derby at some point.
You have to have a separate ticket, apparently, because it's like.
Oh, really? You can't just walk in.
They have Gen Pop in one portion.
They
infield,
go straight to the infield
have,
now.
Yeah.
Straight to the
infield.
Yeah,
I think you graduate. I think you've grown up enough. But you know, do your thing. Look, do you.
I don't care where I am if I'm out here for the derby.
Well, there's a couple things we got to get through. Here.
So, okay, let's hammer through this. Come
so,
on.
So you grew up watching Louisville basketball.
Yes.
But now you're heavily involved in Clemson, and you're going to like this guy here because,
okay.
Because he's at Kenny Chesney hanging out with Dabo.
Oh,
okay.
Dabo's
like
my man.
Like a week ago, I'm like, that's Dabo Sweeney. And I went over because he had a connection here. Like his wife's family taught at U of L.
Yes.
And she was there, and I talked, and she couldn't believe I knew that because Dabo had come on my show one time because their SID, who was great, something messed up media day. He goes, I'll get him on your show, I promise, for the season.
Yeah,
and he did. Called in. It was great. And he told me that story, and I had forgotten, and she was blown away that anybody knew this. And so, yeah, we talked a little bit because I went to the Georgia Tech game this past year.
Yep.
A friend of mine, John Whitmire, I don't know if you know John.
Yeah.
You know Whitmire? King of Clemson.
He calls him King of Clemson, but
he's got
Duke
two suites, and he's got a great tailgate and everything.
It's a good guy to know.
And he was college roommates of my late friend Clint Glasscock. That's who I know.
Oh,
Whitmire.
Yeah.
And so I went there, and I was like, I don't remember what game it was, but you had a terrible fake punt in the first quarter. He's like, oh hell, Georgia Tech, that damn punter didn't listen to a thing we said, you know. So it was fun.
No,
so,
Dad was amazing. I mean, you want to talk about somebody who could sit down with you guys and it's entertaining. It's one of those guys.
We can't stand Clemson.
Well, it's because you all beat us all the time. So I got to understand.
Oh no, look, Clemson snuck by a couple Louisville.
Oh, three games. We should have won. Anyway,
no question.
But you grew up as a Louisville fan.
I did. And I still pull for Louisville.
And they weren't rivals then, though.
I know. But we got to get you back on board.
Oh,
you know?
Look.
Yeah, we got to get you back on board here.
If you guys come down for a Clemson-Louisville game.
I will. We'll be there.
Yeah, I'll have to bring you over to the tailgate, and it's fun. I mean, everybody down there is so friendly. The Louisville
that's
fans
my experience.
Go,
that's my experience.
Well, here's how I take it.
Yeah.
Here's how I take it.
He doesn't believe the niceness.
It's falsity.
I always say it's like Sunday nights. It's like, y'all got a nice little football team down here, and I'm like, I want to beat you guys so bad.
I call it
Ravalli. And you know,
he's coming out of the Whitmire tailgate afterwards a few years ago. There's a DJ, everything's going on. He comes up, Ravalli this, Ravalli that. I'm like, wrong time.
There's a missing third down marker when Lamar Jackson's trying to find first down. Hey, all of a sudden it goes missing, and I'm like,
You gotta do what you gotta do.
I can't do this.
The gray area is a little bit wider.
But everybody has been super nice. I just
hear you.
Yeah,
it's tough. I mean, even the last game here, the way Clemson, you know, finished and won that one, they burn all their nine lives. Louisville will have their number at some point. It's great to see the program's doing well. But yeah.
And you live in there or here now?
We're I live here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I live near Locust Grove.
How will you take in Saturday? We'll get to do the walkover. That'll be unbelievable, right?
I mean, I just how can you even imagine what that's like? I've not done it before, but the people that have, and
I did it with Clint a few times, and I will tell you, I'm someone who can tell you, because in radio, knowing how long 60 seconds is, how long 30 seconds is, I cannot tell you how long the walkover took, because it was like an out-of-body experience.
Oh, I mean, it's looking at the crowd and you know, being from Louisville, I'm sure the whole time I'll see, you know, people that I know and, you know, give them the fist pump. And
It's like your whole life flashes before you on that turn.
Oh, it's and that's the thing. I mean, look, it'd be great if Sierra Leone could win. He's got a real chance. But those types of things, or being here in the mornings, you've already won. You know, I mean, a lot can happen at a Derby. He's a nice horse. He's won some big stake races. They can't take the bluegrass away, right?
Right.
And he's bred to be a sire. So check every box. It's almost like you want to win, obviously, but just because of the experience. But, you know, I really just hope he has his race, because he's got this style. It comes from behind. A Derby's a tricky race to do it. There's a lot of traffic. But if he just gets his chance and he doesn't quite get there, or he gets there and, you know, one comes from the clouds, you know, high five the whoever his horse is that won.
Right. Check back with me right before the starting gate opens and see if you feel the same way.
Yeah. No. I mean, if I could hit, like, the fast-forward button and just get to, like, the mid-turn.
Yeah.
That's where usually he does his thing. And just get him in with,
a 45-second half-mile on the board or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
That probably – well, that might not happen. 46 might happen.
You never know in the editions, but that is when you're – especially if you're close, that's the thing. You're dying to see that half-mile time and then the 6-furlong time. And it's like, holy crap, if that thing's going fast, your heart will be racing. Like,
if you're on the lead, you want 48. If you're coming like Sierra Leone, you want 46.
He has more in the tank than he's shown. You know, Tyler says that. Chad says that. And it could be exciting.
Yeah.
It could be exciting.
Well, it's great. It's great to see somebody local in on this.
Absolutely.
We'll
have
to
have a beer at the SO Club.
Yes.
I would have worn my SO Club t-shirt.
I'm going to text you when we get down there.
Absolutely. Need
we'll text you for sure.
Yeah, it's a good group, and I know Dabo a bit. I've been texting him occasionally, not like a stalker.
Well, I'll send you this picture. You could say, I found this guy in a radio interview. Yeah. This guy caught you at
exactly.
the concert. So.
But I'll tell you this. Winning the Kentucky Derby, like 5 national championships.
So
if you're out there listening.
Yeah, no.
And I know we can't turn those red roses to orange. But anyway.
I will.
We're not doing that.
I will get you, definitely get you a copy of this interview. Yep. You can send that to him, and I'll send you this picture too. So.
Perfect. Well, it's great speaking with you guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
I hope you're all having as much fun as everybody else.
Oh, absolutely, man. Yeah. We're having a mint julep at 8:30 in the morning.
Yes. Right. Yeah.
We'll see you in the winter circle.
Okay.
And then Ref Valley.
All right. Yes. Thank you.
All right.
Good
chat. Take care of yourself, man. Yeah, awesome stuff, Brooke T. Smith, co-owner of Sierra Leone.
We got to get to break. We're going to do that right now here as we're on the backside to listen to Diener's Show. I'm Anthony DeVille, ESPN 680. Whew.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
Broadcasting live from Churchill Downs for Kentucky Derby 150, you're listening to The Diener Show on ESPN 680, 105.7, and 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Drew Diener and Mark Blankenbaker.
Well, we hope the signal is good enough. James, you're going to be brutally honest with us. If it's terrible, we'll reset everything. But we're back here, backside Churchill Downs, as we roll along. John Bull, who we get every Thursday. Now we get him in person, like, once or twice a year.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
I had to come down and see the horses for myself. I had to drag my butt out of bed and see them for myself. And I've I might have to switch my pick.
Oh, really?
Whoa, yeah, you guys know. You guys know I've been a fierceness guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all the way
absolutely.
For weeks and weeks
you were
and
a
weeks.
Cold exact of fierceness and
catching freedom.
Okay,
so I'm walking down the row here. I wanted to make it just in time for 7:30 for the horses on the track, the Derby and Oaks horses, and I'm coming down. And there's this big, large, like the headless horseman's horse right in front of me, and it's Sierra Leone. And then I'm like, well, that was a sign. And then I go over to the track, and I watch them all go by, and fierceness is kind of small, and they're okay. And then this big, nasty beast comes loping by, just digging in. Sierra Leone.
I know. Mm-hmm. Well, this is what they've talked about with fierceness, that he's really low-key. He's kind of too cool for school.
Well, no, physically, though, Donna Brothers says not impressive physically. All outperforms the physical look.
And also behaviorally, too.
Listen, I go way back to get – you can't always get duped by the big, nasty horse. Like, remember Mr. Frisky?
Oh, yeah.
Was the biggest rippling, roided thing I've ever seen.
Yes,
and
yes.
We all got duped into Mr. Frisky.
We were right on Justify.
Although Justify was
– Yes,
was
correct.
Saichi Pegasus and Big Brown are also big, massive horses.
Big Brown. Yeah, for other reasons.
Yes, whatever the hell happened.
So anyway, and then I meet Brooke here, and you guys just had him on. He's such a fantastic guy.
Great story, yeah.
And so, I don't know, I might have to switch. The only reason I didn't toss Sierra Leone, the only reason I thought he couldn't win is that Final Fractions article that Bloodhorse did, like, based on Jenny's data. And he wasn't coming home as fast as it appeared in the last couple of races was the reason why I was – suspect on
well the Brisnet late pace for Sierra Leone is a 97 99 98 95. It's really good. It's very strong and consistent. Some of these horses are all over the board.
So you gotta change your pick. I mean, I am a little floored.
Yeah,
this is big. I mean, you have been
they always say don't change
strong.
At the window,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Okay, then the other thing going on is this. So my photographer who's plugged in says, yeah, man, there's talk about fierceness might have an issue, and
what?
He's washed out. And then so I stood by Rapoli, and I heard Rapoli say, why is he so washed out to somebody?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So he said that.
Oh, that has me kind of concerned.
Got you a little concerned? But they,
you're just looking for a reason.
Rapoli also, man, so I don't know.
Your wife, who yesterday was over here, we took a photo again, our annual Derby photo. She told me she's going to be in the home stretch club today, so I'm going to look for Sorrento while we're up there.
While I'm sweating through my suit again today, working furiously.
There's no shade at all. You're just you sweat right through that thing.
We're live so much, there isn't much. No, the answer is no. Our equipment melted yesterday. We had to move our live shot because all of our iPads overheated and Kevin's all his weather graphics overheated. So we had to move in. And then we're trying to do live shots by these drunken harems of women.
Which you're used to. They called you a zaddy last year, right?
How many zaddies have you gotten this year?
Only a couple. Only a couple. But, no, the...
it's the ultimate compliment.
It is. The being interrupted every 15 seconds.
Hey, John.
For 2.5 hours.
Yeah, I love your stories, man.
Okay, so let me ask you something, because we've been talking about this. Why is it so much worse the last couple years?
That people, like, heckle you?
Approaching me every 10 to 15 seconds with the following.
It's radio. Either, you can blame
radio. Hey, newsman.
Yeah.
John Bowles. Love your stories,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
Every 10 to 15 seconds.
Well, okay, now that one wouldn't fall into that category, but I would assume radio, people feel like they know you, so they would be more apt to
maybe
go.
That's it.
Because it's so personal. It's like they go, oh, I know, you know, they know, hey, you been fishing last night?
Yes,
you know,
that that's kind of how it is.
So if they say newsman, we can't be blamed. But if they're asking about stuff like your fishing, like
that's why.
See,
that's,
so we're to blame.
Kevin's theory was since Churchill went to all-inclusive drinking with the tickets, the people
but
are
that
just
wouldn't
drunker.
Have applied yesterday, though. That wouldn't. That's not till Friday.
Doesn't start till tomorrow. Yeah.
Bad theory. Stick to weather. Stick to weather.
Yeah. What's the weather looking like? What's Harned saying?
Yeah.
It's going to rain.
Yeah.
Tomorrow?
I wanted to be honest with you. I don't need this false hope of the justified. So, it's going to stop at some point.
So
lies.
So I looked this up because I remember on Oaks Day 2019, and it fell on May 3rd.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the trailer with a blow dryer, blow drying my entire suit dry because it was so wet from Oaks coverage late morning.
Oaks coverage makes me wet all the time.
I'm not saying, but I'm saying.
I can't.
I'm saying, man, it's going to. I got a bad feeling 5 years will repeat.
I mean, it's going to be 90 degrees. Get a short sleeve collared shirt.
You got to wear shorts underneath that desk. You got to wear shorts underneath the desk.
Is that on the desk? Are you on the desk?
No, we're out.
He's on the patio.
Well, yeah, Oaksdale will be behind the.
Well, you'll be fine tomorrow. You just got to stay dry.
Yeah, like today is the day, and yesterday and the day before. Like, that's bad.
I'll sacrifice a rainy Oaks for a sunny Derby. It's kind of looking like that could be somewhat the case.
I'm a big believer. I did the story with Dan Dry, and he legendary photographer, and he talked about how the best photos are in bad weather, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say the same thing about TV coverage. By far,
more
the best TV coverage is when it's a Vietnam monsoon.
Yes.
Like, no doubt.
Well, there's a great Justify photo of him crossing the line. That was a very rainy day. It was kind of dark.
Yeah.
And he had the lights on, and he's crossing the finish line, and there's mud everywhere. And it's like an epic photo. I think Clevenger took it, but it was it's just one of those that I'm like,
forget the pretty hats. I want the people sliding in mud or jumping across the porta-potties in the –
There's also something about, like – when you're a pampered Ron Burgundy with a covered nice anchor position, like on the first turn by NBC, or where we are now in the Costas Pavilion.
It's the Costas Pavilion.
That's what they call where. Yeah, we got kicked out the first turn by NBC. They redid everything here. Yeah, NBC.
So much for being the affiliate.
NBC's palatial estate.
Yeah,
like they took over.
Where's Kenny Rice? Now, we'll take that up.
So now we're over here. Now we're over here, like next to those five suites in a row where Jack Harlow was last year.
Like the sandwich suites. Yeah.
So we have the spires behind us from the infield, right?
That's nice.
Yeah. No. So, but it's nice to be protected, and then to look on your monitor and watch all the people dealing with miserable weather. Like it is really. Yeah.
It's like being on vacation and it's like, miserable back
like,
home, right?
There's something about rich people suffering that is kind of fun. I don't want to sound callous.
I like that. No, I like your head.
And then, of course, you've got the infield just people debauchery. Suffering, but they're used to suffering in life, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I mean, that's why that's why we quarantined them off this year.
Yeah.
You know?
They're
before. So,
you got any kisses on the cheek yet? You know, while you're live on air?
No, while I'm live. No, last year was the best. You're beautiful, John. Yeah, that was about that happened on air. Yeah, Myra's like, "What?" I said, "Yeah." She just said, "You're beautiful."
That's fantastic. John Bull with us here. Wave 3, a billion Emmys or 100 or whatever the number is.
It's 102, right?
Yeah. 102.
102.
Yeah. So what's you working on an Emmy right now? This is like your
go-time for Derby. I just finished my 10-part series. I have studied more than I have in a long, long time. I have studied now for going on 3 weeks. I don't have my stuff with me, but
you need one of these, like Counselor Byrne made for me with the ring binder.
I put it
in the races, like tabbed. I mean,
that's pretty good.
Yeah.
No, I have it all in like a manila folder, so it holds up in the wind or the rain, and I've got it all just quick notes.
Yep.
Real small on all the horses and all the talking points I want to hit. And I'm ready to go.
Yeah. So, since you've looked at it, you know, how are you going to bet it yourself? Like, aside from just win, like you're gonna have a try.
I'm gonna bet a fierceness. We call it a wheel, right? Fierceness over like Catching Freedom, Ana Maria, like a lot, Sierra Leone, and I'll pick a couple others, and then I'll do it again, wheeling. I'm now switching, as I've just announced.
Yeah, here we go.
I'm going to go Sierra Leone on top over then all the other same suspects, Ana Marie, you know, Fierceness, et cetera, et cetera. We so like a wheel with a key and do it with two different key horses, none more than that.
Yeah. I mean, Dan, Keeneland Dan, Mick Cronin's brother, was at the event at Audubon last night, and I agree with what he said, that either you bet Fierceness or, you know, to win on top of everything, or you just don't put it on your ticket at all, like even in the tribe, because he's either going to win it or something has gone terribly wrong. I thought it was an interesting theory.
Here's the thing. Your boy Louie, I was listening to Louie's show, who, by the way, really knows horse racing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he loves it.
He's really, really good. So he was interviewing Safi Joseph Jr. yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And Safi said, if Fierceness is on his game, he's unbeatable. Okay, so if you're betting against Fierceness, you're first of all betting on that he's going to be off his game that day.
Or the racing gods have given him bad out of the gate or something, right? I mean,
thunder snows.
No, according to Safi Joseph Jr., who has raced against this horse, he's unbeatable if he's on his game. So you're already betting something that's got a small percentage of happening.
He's got 3 for 5 lifetime, though. I mean,
he has catalytic. I mean, I have to take it by, you know, what Safi, because he got beat by 13 last time against Fierceness.
Yeah. Yes.
But, you know, the horses that haven't run against Fierceness, like Sierra Leone and Dornock and some of these other guys, I think they want to have a crack at it. Now, I understand Safi may have that opinion, you know. But I want to see what everybody else has.
Anyway, that's what he said to Louis. So that stood out to me.
Let's see. The idea of the pick six ticket started with this crew, however many years
That's
ago.
Right.
And I'm just looking now. Anybody still wants them? We've got $3,500 in it. You have to just this is so odd.
It's gonna be a lot
Venmo
more manageable.
Drew Dash Diener.
I'm gonna Venmo you now.
And we're gonna have Keeneland Dan pick it for us. We don't have the pressure off.
Have you Venmo'd yet?
No, I have not.
I didn't know if he'd like to do the pick sending.
Has Brenda Venmo'd?
It'll be from Brenda. it'll be from Brenda. That's.
I think the coverage you guys do. I'm not blowing smoke up your butt. I mean, it's the best 2 days of. I told Michael Vandover this last week. It's the best 2 days of local television. No, it was his boss. It was Nathan Huber. That is produced all year long is Wave 3 on Oaks and Derby. I can't imagine the amount of meetings and plannings that go into it because it comes off great. It's a public service.
A lot goes into it, but the reason why I think it goes off so well is because we take it really, really seriously. The amount of research like Shannon and
I've been doing this for months.
I do know this. At the end of the year when we're looking over all of our material for different contests and different stuff, you know how you armchair quarterback your work and a lot of times it came off better than you thought it really was or worse.
Yeah.
When I look at our Derby and Oaks coverage, I am blown away. Like, I can't even believe I was a part of that. It's so good.
Mm-hmm.
And we get the first couple years I was working at Wave, we had people call and complain, mad that NBC was taking over. They're like,
We
want you guys.
Yeah.
And I laughed at that.
No, I agree.
And then now
it's a nice compliment.
I can kind of see it. So like, I love NBC's coverage, but we do a really good job.
Well, you cover from local angles. So is like on Friday? Can you guys show the races live now, or what's the deal?
No,
give me the coverage.
So
Friday.
Last year we got a bit of a break on the number of live races we could carry. This year they're going back and they're putting them back on USA a lot of them.
All those dozens of USA networks.
So we've been in talk about meetings. Yeah. We've been in all these meetings about what to do. Like, what do you? Why? Some would argue, why run a delayed race 20 minutes later? Because everybody who bet it knows what happened. They're watching it on their phone, right? So we had a big debate on that, and I think we're still going to run them delayed just so people, if you're at a party or whatever, not serious about it, you can see it. But I could argue it either way is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I mean, it's almost like you'd almost want to – I guess the argument would be to run it and commentate on it as if you know the result, because you do know the result. Like, oh, hey, here's the spot.
Yeah, that's how I'm going to handle
it. But you're probably right. There's probably people that don't have the Twin Spires app or whatever and haven't signed up for their deposit bonus or whatever and go, damn, let's go. And you can always mess those people. I bet the four comes back to win here. You know?
Like rewatching Jeopardy.
I might use it like a learning opportunity to try to teach something. I don't know. But, so we debated it both ways. We're going to still do them. And to answer your question, there are more of them delayed this time.
But you're still on the air starting at what time until what time?
Oh, God. Oaks Day is, I'm pretty sure, like eight or 9 o'clock. Yeah. I know my shift. Okay, here's my shift this weekend. Friday I work.
We know your shift.
2:30 to 7:30 I'm on Oaks Day. Go back and anchor the 11 o'clock news. And then my call time is 5:30 a.m.
Oh,
5:30 a.m.
I know you're wearing an Iron Man shirt, but you're not actually Iron Man.
To be then on the air anchoring 8 a.m. to 2:30, give it to NBC, and then I anchor the post show.
Wow.
Why is your call time 5:30 in the morning if you don't go on until 8?
Call my bosses, man. I don't know.
Two and a half hours?
I mean, I don't know.
With 15-minute call
Nathan
time.
Nathan Huber, get this man
a raise. 15-minute call times.
Yeah.
Showed up today.
I might show up late.
6:51 for 7 o'clock.
Yeah. Like, traffic's not an issue at 8 a.m. on Derby Day.
No, it's not. You'll be fine.
But, my God, the art of getting out of Oaks and Derby, that's a story in and of itself. Like, the amount of people that hire drivers or meet at a weird spot. I mean, that is an art form to get a ride home after Derby.
Yeah, go pick up your kid. Have you gotten to that point yet?
Well, my kid is now, what I realized, eligible to drive with other – they didn't have to be sober in the car, right? They just got to have a licensed driver in the car. So, Max is now a chauffeur driver on Saturday.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because my go-to was to get my kids was the Arby's on Crittenden.
Okay.
At the end of Central.
Yeah.
A little bit of a walk.
Can you get there? Is that accessible?
Yeah, Crittenden's usually open. That's about the end
of
your length. So you got to walk a little bit, but that was my go-to.
No, that's pretty good. I was thinking about this today, and I'm like, Max, you have your guess what you're doing Saturday.
So because I have my daughter's play Friday, which is unbelievable. I've got to
Father
watch
of the year here. Father
I've
of the year.
I've got to watch the Oaks and run. Otherwise, I'm gonna get crushed by traffic.
I don't think you have to watch the Oaks. I think the Oaks is the 12th race on Friday.
I have been able to make it having watched the Oaks, but you gotta go like
you have
then.
A phone. You can watch it on your phone.
You know what the worst then. Moment of the year in television is for me?
The Masters
is
the
no.
Butler Cabin interview.
No,
Butler
it is broadcasting all day long, pointing to the Oaks race. And then not being allowed to run it live.
Yeah, going on.
Having to make an excuse.
Yeah.
And then we have to time it out so the horses aren't running by in back of us while we're on the air. We have to, like, go to break. And then we have to act like it didn't happen.
Oh.
For like 10 or 15 minutes.
Yeah, that's not going to work.
That's
one you got to.
Bizarre.
Yeah, I think you can do that with the third race. I think the Oaks, you can't treat people like they're idiots. You got to go, okay.
You almost got to go to break and just go tune into the USA Network,
and then
nobody will do that in television.
But we do. You know, we're transparent. We tell people the truth. But from an anchoring perspective, it is so bizarre.
Right, yeah. Right. 5:30 call time for 8:00.
Screw that. We're done at 10:00, man. That's why I got out of TV. Y'all work too hard. I mean, my week is done.
Done.
Do we do best of on Friday.
I am so jealous of you guys. I am working like a dog, and then Blankenbaker's texting me with my wife with his cocktails. He will do that today again.
100%. He's a taunter. That's what he does.
I will find Brenda before I leave today, take a photo, and we'll probably have cigars together. I'll probably
have a cigar with Brenda. Your wife is looking good, JV. I bought her a drink. There's models at her table.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, you can say they called me Zaddy. You know, you got that in your back.
Yeah.
But you love this stuff, though. I mean, if you did, you don't just do it because these are your assignments. You accept these. You could say, hey, I don't want to do all
this
crap. No, I do. Crap.
Yeah. I do. I'm really, really lucky that it's horse racing of all things. Like, I was telling Brooke, I bought a book at Holly Cook on how to read VPs.
Yeah.
When I moved here.
Mm-hmm. Really?
I didn't know anything about horse racing. But a little paperback book at Holly Cook.
Wow.
Changed my life.
Funny, I did.
Then all my buddies in Wisconsin, I was turned them on to it. They did too. They started coming to Derby every year.
Like back at the Holly Cook by the Bargetown Road, by near 264.
Yes.
I bought Andy Byers' book there.
Yes,
and I, same exact thing.
Yeah. And it means something because it's paramutual wagering. It's me against you against the others. Like you have a chance.
And it is so hard to explain to people who've never been to track about the odds. I still don't know how to translate it to a newbie to be like, okay, because I've got newbies all across the board here.
And he gets judged by how close he comes to post time odds.
Yeah. All right, John Bull. It's always great.
All right,
go catch some fish after you get done. I'm sure.
Thanks a lot,
I may have to flee to the woods. Yes,
all
but
right.
We got to buckle down and get through all this. So it's going to be fun.
Stay dry tomorrow. Right.
Did you go on record with your pick? What'd you go with?
Not yet. I guess I'll have to do that at the end of the show. I mean, I'm fierce. I can't imagine I'm not fierceness. I mean, it's the horse. It's my kick yourself in the ass theory that if the horse that crossed the finish line first, you didn't bet it, you kick yourself in the ass the hardest.
Yeah.
It's fierceness. I mean, I feel like an idiot.
Same with you.
Well, you know,
no, you're not.
My dummy bet, like you didn't bet that dummy, is Dornock, because he's the full brother, of the mage who won last year. It's like, oh, you couldn't figure out that Dornock was going to win the Kentucky Derby. You know, he's full brother to Mage.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of mine.
He's going to get the lead, too.
But for us, Sierra Leone, we've had owner-trainer jockey here on this show.
It's true.
It's pretty tough to get away from that.
Yeah. Well, it is going to be a big showdown between the big two. Between those two. So,
right.
Yeah. All right, guys.
All right,
buddy.
Get on out. John Bull with us here. We'll continue along here on the backside of Churchill. We'll talk to our friends at Fish and Wildlife in a moment. You're listening to Diener Show, 93 in the Ville, ESPN 680.